This time of year is a popular one for sitting with older relatives, asking the stories of our families. And rather than grabbing a pen or a laptop and scribbling or typing furiously while Grandma talks, why not record her story as an oral history? That's a question our next guest asks and answers, too. Daniel Ulrich helps people preserve family memories, helping people create oral histories. Daniel, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
You're in this with Julie Canta. She couldn't join us today, but we have you, and thanks for being here. Did either of you set out to become oral historians? Tell us about how this got started.
Well, we were in the class of professional writers at SOU, and our instructor was Ed Battistella, and we both had a lot of interest in family heritage, and Julie, for her capstone project, wrote a research project on her mother's family history, and I ended up getting involved with a lot of people who were interested in looking for someone who could tell their story in ways that they wanted to put down on paper.
So you're really sort of like the person who gets in the middle there and helps draw the stuff out of other people to make it consumable, I guess.
Right. Well, as Kurt Vonnegut said, we all see our lives as stories, and it's just a matter of finding that story.
So how do you help people tell their stories? Talk about the process.
Well, first of all, you sit down with them, and you find out if they have a story that they want told, and if they do, then you help them tell that particular story. And if they are not sure what story they want told, then you go over their life, you see what materials they have already written. And based on that, you then ascertain what questions to ask, and that just fills in the gaps.
So you got to know a little something about them before the process even starts. Before you do any interview, you're going to have a few things about them in your hands.
Well, it just makes things easier. Then you know what space you're dealing with, and it makes things less daunting, because I think once people see how much is already available, then looking back on their life becomes less stressful.
Do you find that people do open up when they're aware of the fact that you know a few things about them already? I guess I can answer this question myself because I do it all the time. But I mean, if you, it seems like if you let people know you know a little bit about them, they're a lot more forthcoming about adding more details.
I think so, and I think that once they get started, they really start to pick up on the narrative of their own life, and it becomes much more easy. And I think one of the most important roles an oral historian plays is you're an outsider coming into someone's life, and it's actually much easier to talk to a stranger about your life story than it is to talk to your own friends and family.
Why do you suppose that is?
I think because there's going to be less preconceptions. Someone you know is going to carry a judgment or their own spin of events, and you're worried about reliving that with them. But with an outsider, they're especially someone whose role is to just listen, then you feel more free to just speak your mind, and no one's going to contradict you, and after you get into it, you feel much more comfortable.
I can imagine this. If a relative is interviewing you and you say, well, here's the way it happened, like this, and don't give me that look, mm-hmm. You could just imagine people would go there.
Right. And also, I think that it's encouraging to know that someone else wants to hear your story. Because when you're talking with family or friends, you don't know if they're really interested or if this is just something that you're being forced into. But if someone comes in to hear your story, it's encouraging.
Daniel Ulrich is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about collecting oral histories. It's something he does with Julie Canta. They were in the professional writers class at Southern Oregon University a couple of years ago, and this is sort of slowly developing into a business idea. We'll get into that in a moment. You can join us on the Exchange, talk about oral history, and maybe something, a process you've done with some of your relatives. 800-838-3760 to join by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Have there been situations, Daniel, when a family member will decide, hey, I want somebody to talk to Grandma. I want somebody to get an oral history from her. But then you get the Grandma or Grandpa or whoever the designated family member is, and they're a whole lot less enthusiastic.
Well, I haven't had any bad experiences yet. I get that impression at first. The last lady I was riding with, she looked at her daughter and said, "You're going to pay for this." And she said, "Oh, of course I will." And she says, "No, you're going to pay for this."
Really?
And so, and, okay. But actually, she got to be a lot of fun, and she couldn't stop talking once she started. So I've actually never encountered a tough interview yet, but someone who was dragging their feet the whole time. But yeah, I think a lot of people are just reluctant to relive their life. But I think when you look back on your life, we all have interesting life stories. Everyone has their own story to tell. And it's just a matter of hearing that. And I think one of the other interesting things is that it's so encouraging for their friends and loved ones and family to see them open up and start talking about their life and their accomplishments to an outsider.
So is it done, in a sense, with the family around? I mean, do people get to specify, like, you know, okay, I'll do this, but I need to have my daughters out of the room when I talk to you, that kind of thing?
I've never had that yet, mm-hmm. Not yet. Usually they like the support. And if there's sometimes there's a little bickering over details, but I think they like to have the support there. But that's a possibility that could come up at some point where there is a contentious version of history. But I haven't had that problem so far.
How many of these have you done so far?
About five. Mm-hmm. Some of them were just really simple. Others are ongoing, and one of them is started as a son's memoir of his father, but now it's kind of evolved into a biography of his father since the son has passed away.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a tough situation. Has this turned into a business just yet? It sounds like this is where you and Julie Canta would like to take it, but it just hasn't quite gotten there yet.
Well, it hasn't quite gotten there yet because we've both been kind of wandering journeymen and women in our own way. We've trying to find our way as independent researchers and writers after college, and I think we've kind of found our way back together, and we're still formulating how we're going to go forward. But right now, it's Living Legacy is the organization that Julie is running out of her business, Plum Creative, mm-hmm. And we're formulating a plan to work together on that.
So you mentioned that it can be hard to talk about some of the details of your life, and I wonder if there are situations you run into or you prepare for the possibility that people get a little verklempt. I mean, they're talking about things that when they're talking about them again, they become painful to them again.
Yeah, I always try to let them take their time and relax. And when it gets into sensitive material, I just make sure that I'm not pressing them for anything they don't want to say, and there's a good trust established. But if all else fails, just take a break, and then the mood cools, and we can move on to a different subject if necessary, or if they're ready to go on further, then we do that.
Daniel Ulrich is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He works in collecting memories from people in a Living Legacy project with Julie Canta. It's oral history. You can talk to us about oral history, and maybe you've done this process in your own family, had somebody talk on tape to get recorded to talk about the things that have happened in your family and their lives. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Do you prompt Daniel for things that you know from earlier research that you might have missed? And I ask this for a specific reason in my family. I have a cassette of my grandfather rambling on for a while about his life. He never mentions his wife or his kids.
Yes, what you try to do is you prepare for what the general details of a person's life is going to be with their birth, schooling, any military service they might have, marriage, kids, and you from that try to diagram out what sort of historical events are going on in their life, and and when you listen to how they describe things, you're able to pick out what they're emphasizing and what they're leaving out. So, yes, it can be things like the other side of the family, the mother's side, the ex-wife's side or the ex-husband's side, things like that. And what I do is I look in my notes and I determine, well, do I want to press for more details on that, or do I leave that aside, the back burner for later? And again, it's up to what kind of story they want told.
Mm-hmm. Have you had some surprising moments thus far doing this?
Yes, I've had surprising moments in terms of how good elders are at recalling events that you would never think that they would remember once they begin talking, and it's really uncanny how little details like the sound of footsteps or the pigeons that took off when you clapped your hands. And it all comes back. There's things that people take for granted, but it always stores in your memory somehow. But when it's brought out, then it's what makes the past real, because the past, when it's in memory, it's in a liminal space where it doesn't exactly exist, but it exists in the minds of survivors. And so things like that just help paint the picture in my mind and readers' minds of what happened.
It sounds like there could be quite a cascade here where people relate one episode from their past and then it triggers another. Oh, wait, that reminds me of the time that I did such and such. And pretty soon, 2 hours have gone by and there you are.
Oh, yeah. And that's I guess that is the surprise for me, is that how consuming it becomes once you get started, is that 2-3 hours just fly by and people can start off, like you mentioned, feeling like this is going to be a torture and yet when you can get into the afternoon before you look up at the clock.
What kinds of things do you give to the family when you're done? I mean, do they get the complete recordings? Do you do any editing to it? Do you package it some way?
Well, usually my process is that I record the whole session so as to avoid taking notes, because I find that makes it more comfortable without having a tablet or mm-hmm. pencil in my hand. And then what I'll do is I'll transcribe that entirely and try to put it in coherent sense. And then I'll give them that. And then we determine how it's formed. Is it in an article? Is it in the first person? Is it in a narrative sense? Is it in a novel? And we go from there.
All right. Daniel Ulrich and Julie Canta run the Living Legacy Project, which runs out of Julie's Plum Creative. That's her company right now. And Daniel, interesting stuff going on. Thanks for doing this with us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.